sin, but if you do not embrace their faith, the Quran mandates that at some point in time they turn and destroy you. It's blatant, it's clear, it's unmitigated, and it's coming. We're dealing with something that is very, very serious. Joe Schimmel, senior pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Southern California, openly has questioned whether church leaders are affirming Allah. Schimmel suggested, could it be that we're witnessing the formation of the prophesied one world religion under the Antichrist? He cited Brian McLaren of the Emerging Church Movement, who planned for an Islamic Ramadan celebration. Yeah, a Christian leader planning for an Islamic Ramadan celebration. He mentioned Rick Warren's agreement to address the Islamic Society of North America, which the Department of Justice categorized just 2 years ago as a co-conspirator in financing a foreign terrorist group. Another church leader, Tony Campolo, a proponent of the so-called evangelical left, claimed that even if Muslims don't convert, they are God's people anyway. Really? Mr. Campolo is rewriting the Bible. Even more chilling, said Schimmel, is the fact that over 300 prominent Christian leaders signed a letter issued by the Yale Center for Faith and Culture claiming that world peace is dependent on Muslims and Christians recognizing Allah and Yahweh as the same God. 300 prominent Christian leaders. The title of the letter was Loving God and Neighbor Together. It was written in response to a signed document by 138 Muslim leaders titled A Common Word Between Us and You. Who signed it? Well, among the 300 were Brian McLaren, Rick Warren, Robert Schuller, and Bill Hybels. Signatories of this outright betrayal of the government of God and the word of Jesus Christ. TBN itself previously had a conflict over its intolerance for any criticism of Islam. In 2006, when Hal Lindsey clashed with the network because TBN wanted him to soften his views on Muslims, Lindsey refused. And so now has Jack Van Impe. These pastors, friends, some of the most prominent names in the country, leading the sheep astray. Will you be caught up in this wave of deception? And this is only one area of deception. Get your copy of Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception, your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. Get several copies. Give them to these pastors. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner. Pray for our country. Pray for the church. Remove yourself from any group that is participating in this treasonous activity to the body of Christ. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion. It's illusion that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owner's management. Staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to, they happen to be my views. And, well, for the first half hour of this section, we're going to be talking to Sharon Harris and Dottie about Heart and Body Extract. The last 30 minutes, we're going to do open lines, get some fascinating and exciting information for you. But right now, we want to talk to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing? Oh, there we are. I didn't get the right button, but there. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm great, yes. And yourself?
I'm doing just great, and let's find if we've got Dottie here. Okay, Dottie, are you there? No, I guess we lost Dottie. We'll get Ed to hook her up again. And basically, of course, Sharon came up with the Heart and Body Extract. What was it, about 8 or 9 years ago? No, I guess it looks like I pressed the wrong button at each stage. Where we're going to get Sharon and Dottie back on the line, but right now, hopefully, we'll get it straightened out here in the near future. Anyway, this is an herbal extract, and you know, there's so much to learn about herbs. All of these things have a specific function. And they have been known for literally thousands of years to be effective. And then about 100 years ago, when the pharmaceutical industry took over the practice of medicine, they stopped teaching doctors about herbs. And basically what happened, of course, is we started getting more and more people dependent upon the pharmaceutical industry. And the pharmaceutical industry really took over the practice of medicine. There was an article I was just reading this evening, and it was saying that the relationship between statin drugs and diabetes, and that, of course, if you took your statin drugs for a long period of time, you had a 9% increase of the possibility of getting diabetes. But they didn't think that that was really important. After all, the statin drugs did so much more good. But if you really look up and see what the statin drugs really do, and of course you have to read the whole brochure on statin drugs, you'll find, for instance, that the most popular of the statin drugs, if you've never had a heart attack or a stroke, the most popular gives you a 1% less chance of getting a stroke or heart attack. And yet you have a 9% chance of getting diabetes, and yet, of course, the experts say, oh, well, it's only a minuscule increase in the chance of getting diabetes, and look at all the good the statin drugs have done. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think they have done that much good, and that's why I think that you really should look into some of the things and the way you can benefit from the use of herbal treatments. Would you agree or disagree with that? Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I would definitely agree that the answers are in nature. And if you could, you know, basically listen to what the Bible says. It says go to the plants, and that's where the medicine is. And that's really where the true healing comes from, is when the body gets the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, vitamins, that it needs through the plants. So absolutely, herbals are an excellent way to go to regain health back.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to be just you and me, because apparently Dottie's asleep and her husband won't wake her up. So it's going to be you and me. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, Sharon, certainly you've been at this for 9 years, and I know you get testimonials from all over the world as far as the benefit of what you're doing. But one of the most important things, certainly if anybody looks up, herbal medicine.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
For Liberty or 464-8295, but basically, of course, the three most important ingredients in the heart and body extract are the hawthorn, and that's been used for treatment of hearts. For heart, we can't say for treatment because the FDA says you can't say it's for treatment. All you can say is that it's been used for many, many years at dealing with the heart. And then, of course, the cayenne drops and certainly the garlic. Garlic has so many beneficial effects. There are about eight different products in heart and body extract. But those are probably the three primary ones, although how many are there all together?
There's actually 10 ingredients in the formula. And we were talking a little bit about garlic, so it's a powerful immune stimulant. It's a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body to fight against damaging free radicals. It'll support normal blood pressure levels and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. Great formula.
All right, fine. And, Chris, people have to realize that one of the big dangers to our body is oxidation. And this is why the antioxidants really work so well. When you oxidize, it's sort of like rusting, and basically that's one reason you don't want an awful lot of iron in your diet. You don't want to get a combination of oxygen and iron, because that's what rust is really all about. And I'm not a physiologist, but I do know that the major thrust of so many things today are the antioxidants in so many of the things, whether it be curcumin or quercetin or vitamin C, vitamin E, they're all powerful antioxidants, and that's why they work, and really they're so important for our health. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, why don't you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Sharon, because here's a great opportunity to talk to her personally. Maybe you've been taking the product, you're happy with it. Maybe you have a question on how to take it, how much to take, why it works, why it might help you. My telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do most people tell you after they've been on the product for a long time?
Well, gee, we've been at this now for 10 years, and we've had clients on the product for 10 years. So a lot of people say to me that as they take the formula, it's a process of continuing to improve the health over time, and it's a maintenance of good health. Like, once a person has achieved the results that they're seeking, it's a matter of maintaining those positive results. So different people have different results. We're all unique. I'm a different person as compared to Dottie, and you're a different person as compared to myself, and so on. So for myself, what happened to me is the formula really helped to balance my blood pressure. I, at 45 going on 46, had very high blood pressure. It was 160 over 110, which is considered severe. I had bad headaches at that time. I had spontaneous nosebleeds. I had dizzy spells. I also had irregular heartbeat episodes and racing hearts and palpitations. And at the same time, I had congestive heart failure problems, where I had edema in my ankles and my feet, where I wasn't able to wear my own normal shoes. I was very tired, very short of breath, had an enlarged heart. So even though I thought that I was eating well, and I was eating lots of fruits and vegetables, and I was exercising, like swimming and walking, my body, for some reason, wasn't getting enough of what it needed. So that's where the heart and body came into play. It seemed to fill in those spots of the puzzle where I wasn't getting enough nutrition, and it gave me the vitamins and minerals and amino acids and enzymes that my body really, really needed so it could go back into balance. And for myself, within a couple of weeks of using the heart and body extract, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 120 over 70. And I remember taking the blood pressure readings over at the Walmart, and I did it about 3 or 4 times. Couldn't believe it. Is that true? Is that true? My blood pressure, 120 over 70, 120 over 70. I was so excited because it was so phenomenal losing those 40 points of the blood pressure reading. So that was exciting. And then, you know, my heart started to regulate and feel better within about a week or so. And the congestive heart failure symptoms of the lethargy and the tiredness and the shortness of breath and the edema were much, much improved within a month. So that's what happened to me. And then Dottie, if she was on the line, she would say her different experiences from the top of her head to the bottom of the toes. She had a tremendous type of testimonial, which involved all sorts of areas of her whole body. And it does make sense, because the circulation involves 80,000 miles of blood vessels throughout the whole body. So when your circulation is improved and the nutrition can go into the cells properly and the waste can get out of the cells properly, a lot of different areas in the body can improve. So, you know, we have different things happening for different people. Some folks have stated that they had a hard time to walk. They had a lot of pain, and they were only able to, you know, walk maybe half a block or even less. Some poor folks weren't even able to walk to the mailbox. And within a few weeks, they were able to do much, much more in terms of being able to get up and around. So different things for different people, really.
And that's the story I've heard from people who've taken the product. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you've taken the product and you have a comment, don't be bashful. And if you have a question about it, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I do know one of those people who couldn't walk to the down to the mailbox, and she started taking her product. And she personally told me spontaneously that how much better she was, and now she was able to get to the mailbox. And last thing I talked to her, because she was getting around very, very well. And for some reason, whether it was just coincidental, I had congestive heart failure, even after I'd had my heart surgery with swelling of the legs, and whether it was this product or something else, why my swelling of my legs went away, and I quit taking a lot of my diuretics and certainly some of the other fancy drugs, because I don't like to take drugs. I do take Digitalis, but that is because all I'm really taking for my heart now. I do take occasionally Lasix, but suddenly I take the hardened body extract, and I've given up a lot of the other medications. Yeah, just everybody's different. They have to decide what they want to do. But right, certainly an awful lot of people out there across America and really throughout the world are on this product. And how many do you have any idea how many people are taking the product throughout the world today? Or would that just be too much of a guess for you?
Well, we do have a database. We have a wonderful database which does accurately keep track of our clients. And when clients call in to reorder, we're able to go by zip code and be able to locate them pretty quick. However, sometimes you might have 50 or 60 or 70 different people in the zip code, so then we would kind of, further ask more questions to find out. But we have over 30,000 users over 10 years. So,
boy, that's a lot of people out
there. It is. It's a lot of people. But, as much as we have tried, have helped many people, and we've done our very, very best to reach out to help people, and we have been very successful. At the same time, I think, there's so many more that don't know about us yet. And so that's really my desire, is to go out there and reach more people, because there's a lot of suffering people out there. And but we've helped many, many people. At the same time, there's so many more that need help.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or a comment about heart and body extract. But it's got certainly about 10 herbs in it. Now, are there any vitamins or minerals in this, or would people be taking supplementary vitamins and minerals?
Well, in the herbs there naturally is vitamins and minerals and enzymes and coenzymes in it, and phytonutrients in it, because it's made out of plants. So you are going to have vitamins and minerals. However, what I do like to say to people is, if you are taking a supplement that is helpful for you, for example, a lot of people might be taking coenzyme Q10 or Boiguanol, which is even better for people after 50, I would say keep taking things that you feel are helpful to you. There's no reason at all to stop taking something like a Boiguanol or CoQ10 or flaxseed oil or B-complex. There's certain things that we need to have in addition to the heart and body extract, because we're all different. Some people need more of certain things.
Well, let's get your telephone number out and your website before we get to the break. Mm-hmm. What's the telephone number? What's the website?
Sure. The phone number to call is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. And then the website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
All right, fine. And as you get to the website, you'll find out all sorts of things, a list of all the items that are included in heart and body extract. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, Sharon, let's go ahead and list all the things. Now, we've talked about three of the items. We've talked about the garlic. We've talked about the cayenne drops. We've talked about the hawthorn. But what are the other products that are there?
Heart heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Based upon the things that were known to be beneficial as far as the heart was concerned, did you have this formula changed since you originally started with it?
No, no. The formula, we tested it for a year carefully. I probably helped maybe 50 people very slowly, just kind of sharing it with people I knew slowly, validating, verifying, and seeing that it was working and it was safe and it was effective. So, we've been very fortunate to have a formula that works. And if something works, no, we're not fixing it. So it's been the same formula for 10 years, the same recipe, and we're not going to change it.
Well, now you do have some other products as well, don't you?
Yeah, we have a whole line of different formulas, and all of our formulas are organic and wildcrafted and liquids. So, yes, we have formulas to help to support healthy bones and joints, healthy liver function, kidney function. We have a formula that helps maintain nice sugar levels, balanced sugar levels. So we have 19 different formulas. Our flagship product is the Heart and Body Extract, and that's the one that we sell many, many thousands of bottles of.
All right, fine. In fact, Sharon had been with us for 4 or 5 months before I realized she had all these other products as well. So we just thought we'd put a plug in for them. Sharon does actually support Radio Liberty, and we really appreciate that. Let's get your telephone number out and, once again, your website, then we'll let you go.
Sure.
What is the telephone number that people can call?
Sure. Okay. The phone number to call is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. And if listeners are interested in checking out our other formulas, the website, including the Heart and Body and all of the formulas, is healthyheartsclub.net. So healthyheartsclub.net. That's the name of our company, Healthy Hearts Club. Men.net. That will go over all of the different formulas.
All right, fine. We may have a caller here. We'll wait just a moment and see if they're going to be coming through.
Sure.
Otherwise, we'll let you go and get on with your evening's activities. But anyway, no, I guess they've dropped off. Anyway, God bless Sharon. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we're just going to do open lines. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And basically everybody's talking about, well, you know, we got to get more jobs, we got to get the economy working, but they're just not telling you the truth. They're not going to get more jobs because they've been intentionally sending our jobs overseas as part of the globalist program, but they cannot tell the American people that. Now, Mortimer Zuckerman is a member of the Trilateral Commission. Remember, there's only about 87 of them. He was the editor of a U.S. News and World Report, and he certainly is one of the leaders of this whole globalist movement. But in a recent article, you can get it off the Internet, I simply type in Mortimer Zuckerman, recent unemployment figures. He's pointing out that the real unemployment rate is about 14, the real unemployment rate is about 14.5 million people, 14.5 million people that are unemployed at the present time. And so we'll go ahead, and I'm just, my producer is trying to show me something here, and he's not going to be available. It's going to be just you and me for the rest of the time. Our other guest is out, and we'll have to get him when he gets back. Anyway, Sydney, if you'd like to talk about what's really going on, you could not understand what is taking place unless you understand Agenda 21, the globalist agenda, which the media is not going to tell you because it is controlled. But there's been an organized effort to send our jobs overseas, to send our manufacturing overseas. Why do you think they outlawed the production of incandescent bulbs here in the United States, incandescent light bulbs? That was so we could shift production to China. We've shifted to the textile industry to China, shoe industry to China, the electronic industry to China and other countries over there. Try to buy a television set, anything electronic here, a cell phone, a computer made here in the United States, you're not going to find them. Give us a call if you have any questions at all.
The This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Real unemployment. This fascinating article by Mortimer Zuckerman, because he points out that they're telling us we have about 7.5 million people unemployed, but that really isn't true. We've got about 10.5 million people unemployed because a lot of people have simply just given up looking for work. And then there's another 3 or 4 million people who are underemployed. They're working part-time jobs. They'd like to be working full-time jobs. We're talking about 14.5 million Americans either unemployed or underemployed. And most of them are not going to get jobs. I mean, a job comes up, there may be 10, 20 people looking for that job, anxious to take the job, capable of taking the job. Now, when you have the government intentionally shipping your jobs overseas, and basically it's not simply the manufacturing jobs, they're sending our architectural design jobs overseas, because you, an architect here, used to get $75 an hour to work. Now, he's got to compete with some guy over in India who will work for $20 or $25 an hour, and he's well-trained and very capable, and they can send those architectural designs back and forth across the ocean in a matter of a few moments by the miracle of the Internet. And suddenly the engineering, a lot of it's being done overseas. Legal work, they're doing medical testing over there, and of course they can suddenly even read CT scans and x-rays electronically. So what they are intentionally doing is lowering the living standards. It's an organized effort to lower the living standards here in the United States. And that is how they're raising the living standards in other countries. David Rockefeller addresses this on page 405 of his memoirs, where he talks about, you know, some people even say that I and the Rockefeller family are part of a secret cabal that is working against the best interests of the United States, plotting with others to suddenly create this new international order. And if that is the charge, I am guilty, and I'm proud of it. But then he says something very, very interesting. He goes on to say, but, you know, look and see what we've done. Everybody's critical of what we've done. But look how we've raised the living standards in other countries and throughout the world. What would they have done? Well, meaning you and me, what would we have done to raise the living standards of people throughout the world? Well, Cindy, I would like to raise living standards throughout the world, but not by destroying the United States of America, the bastion of freedom, not by sending our boys overseas to fight in no-win senseless wars, contrived not to fight a war against terrorism that's as phony as a $3 bill. Do you honestly believe that 19 hijackers hijacked four planes using box cutters, outwitted the FBI, outwitted the CIA, outwitted the 14 intelligence agencies we have that spend over $40 billion a year? Those 19 hijackers were able to commandeer four planes and crash them in one way or another, and then six of them were able to come back to life and are living comfortably over in the Near East? If you doubt that, go to your search engine and simply type in 6 of 19 hijackers living in the Near East, and you'll find out 60 of the 19 9/11 hijackers are over there. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they lied to us. The murderers, people who murdered the almost 3,000 Americans, are loose, and there are people in government who know, but they're afraid to come forward. Why are they afraid to come forward? Well, in the afternoon program, I simply mentioned how the system really works. Alex Jones told me that he was actually been called by one of the major networks and offered an indefinite amount of money. He was told he could be the next Rush Limbaugh, and of course he would be able to make a great deal of money. All he had to do was quit talking about the Federal Reserve System, the bankers, and Alex said he turned them down because freedom is the most important thing we can have. Suddenly they tried to bribe Jesse Ventura. Daniel Estulin, who's written extensively about the Bilderbergers, and in his second book on the Bilderbergers, in the front opening pages, tells how he was actually approached by two men from the Bilderbergers. And they actually gave him a check, and they said, we want you to stop writing about the Bilderbergers, just fill in this check, or probably just take the check. And he said he looked at the check, there was no amount of money there. And he said, there's no amount of money on this check, what are you offering me? And they said, you fill it in, we'll pay you whatever you want. I know I got the similar story many years ago from a gentleman who actually, a friend of Dr. Cuddy's, who had actually had a copy of the original Reese Committee report. And there was a report on the great tax-exempt foundations, showing how the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie and Ford foundations, were actually financing communism and socialism in this country throughout the world. And he personally told me that he had been approached. He had this copy of the Reese Committee report published by the printing office, but they'd gone around and they'd bought up all of them. And this man said he wanted to buy the copy of the Reese Committee report. And he said, well, how much are you willing to pay me? And the man said, any sum you want. Just 2 days ago, a friend of mine, and I will not mention his name, he hasn't given me permission, but I've known him for many years. He's been a frequent guest on our program. And for the first time he mentioned when we were talking about this sort of thing, he said, well, I was approached by a Time Life, AOL, I guess AOL Time Life, and he'd written a book. It was a Catholic book, and it was certainly about moral issues. They offered him $5 million for his book. But, of course, he had to take the references to the homosexuality and immorality out of the book, and then they'd give him $5 million. Well, he said that wasn't hard to do. I just turned them down. And he didn't make a lot of money off the book. Did sell a million copies to a Catholic audience, but he did what was right. And if you don't think that they kill people, you don't understand what's going on, you haven't read certainly the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. That's John Perkins' book, telling about how when he was working for NSA, going around compromising governments throughout the world, a number of the people who would not be bought off were killed. We know, of course, from the Church Committee reports, how certainly the CIA, working with the mafia, of course, it killed Mr. New and Mr. Diem over in Vietnam, and Patrice Lumumba, and I think it was a fellow named Trujillo in the Dominican Republic. They do this sort of thing. If you haven't actually heard our 4-CD set, we have one on deadly assassins, where we interview a couple of CIA assassins and the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General Patton. That's a CD set you can get from us, Deadly Assassins. We have a 4-tape set on Martin Luther King's assassination. James Earl Ray didn't kill him. It was a CIA hit. Bobby Kennedy, it was another government hit. Jack Kennedy, another government hit. This is the sort of thing that really goes on in the world today. Now, you can sit back and do nothing and things are going to get better, but the economy is going to continue to contract. They're going to impoverish the American people, and they're selectively going to eliminate the people who stand against them. In fact, I talked to Lindsey Williams today, who he told me that Alex Jones was saying he wasn't feeling very well. He had taken a trip to New York. He didn't know what had happened, but pray for Alex Jones. Pray for Jesse Ventura. Pray for the people who are on the front lines of this battle. Believe me, they've already killed between 1.5 and 2 billion people during this last century. They're killing millions of people every day today, and they intend to kill billions more. You just read their writings. You get my talk on the planned population reduction, or none dare call it genocide. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And we've got Roman calling from Ohio. Hi, Roman. How are you doing?
Hey, good evening, Doctor. God bless you. And, yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you. You're talking about engineers. And, by the way, I am an engineer. Most of my work is in, like, and I'm out of work. Civil engineering and water mains and streets and things like that. Anyway, recently I took a course because I have to keep my professional engineer's license in force, and I took a course on patents. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but, well, the patent office, I guess, is outside of Washington, D.C., in, I don't know if it's Virginia or West Virginia. I'm a little confused. I don't have a map in front of me. But the patents are actually on the Internet. So if you want to look up a patent, you go on the Internet. So what is to prevent any of these people that are overseas in any country, you want to talk just China, Indonesia, which I think is where quite a few of this Internet problem comes from, but if they're inventing something or setting up a new factory in China or someplace else, and they're trying to figure out how to do something because they've already got stolen merchandise and stolen patents, all they have to do is go to the Internet and get the latest patent or the one that was put in 10, 12 years ago, and there they've got it. It's not as secret as what I thought it was. I don't know if you ever heard that before.
Well, I'm not the least bit surprised. You have to understand, Roman, we're doing everything we can to transfer our technology, to transfer our manufacturing, to transfer our wealth to other countries and intellectual rights as well. And then, of course, when they steal our things over, they say, oh, well, that's a terrible thing. And, boy, you do that 3 or 4 more times, we're really going to get angry with you. It's all a a scam.
Right.
Our leaders are working very closely with the Chinese leaders. Do you know who the current fellow is who's in charge of Communist China, who was recently over here honored at the White House? Do you know who is, what his name is?
I don't know his name.
His name is Hu, H-U, and I've forgotten his last name. But okay. He's the guy who was the butcher of Tiananmen Square. He's the guy who killed so many Chinese, probably 20 or 30,000,
right,
after Tiananmen Square, that we punished him by giving China most favored nation trade status. And that butcher was allowed to come to the United States, and when he came here, not one newspaper, not one would mention he was the butcher of Tiananmen Square. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why nobody would talk about that. You see, the media in America is controlled. There is this organized effort to transfer our wealth and our production and our jobs overseas, and they're doing a great job. And people keep talking about, oh, Obama's talking about when those jobs come back. What we need, of course, is a partnership between government and industry to get more jobs. We're going to end up with more cars like the Volt, a four-place car. $41,000, it'll go 36 miles before you on electricity, before you have to turn on the engine.
Right,
this is only a czar could design, only a government employee could design a car like that. This is the closest thing to the Edsel I've ever seen, actually dictated by the government, because ordinarily no company interested in making a profit would possibly make a car like that. The only way any of them have been sold is because they give a $7,000 rebate if you buy the car, $7,000 tax credit, something like that. And GE, which is working hand in glove with the Obama administration's, got to buy up half of the first production, which is about, might buy about 50,000 of the Volts. But it is not an effective car. And that 41,000 just the base price. You get, if you want you want a radio or something, it's even more. But anything else, run our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Yeah, okay, May 24th, you had on Jerome Corsi, and he was talking about his new book. And by the way, I do want you to sell his book and try to get the news out of where is the birth certificate. But I saw that book at a local store around here. It's called Myers. I don't think you've got such a store in California. But anyhow, the book had a price, $25. It was marked down to $18.79, and then about a week or so later, I walked to the same store looking for the book, so the book wasn't there, and I don't know if they sold out, because I doubt it. I think they just took it off the shelf at any price.
Well, I've seen that with other books. I do not know about Jared. That's a wonderful book, incidentally.
Right.
I never thought anybody could write a book about Obama's birth certificate that would be interesting. But Jerry Corsi has a wonderful, wonderful talent. And if we had a few orders, well, I would be glad to get copies of the book. I think it's a very important book. I think people have to understand that a birth certificate is as fraudulent, certainly, as everything else about the current administration.
Right.
But the Bush administration was no better. They were corrupt,
exactly,
too. And until people understand the same people control both political parties and make mockery of the electoral process, until we send people back to Washington, D.C., who believe in America, until the American people care, nothing's going to change. And remember that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the reason we got problems is because the church is silent, because our ministers either are afraid to speak out or they're on the other side.
Or else they're just dumb, like some of the churches that I go to. Listen, I'm going to excuse myself and get off the air so some other people can get on. And I do want to say that I do pray for you and Alex Jones every day for safety, and no one tries to execute you or take you to court on a big lawsuit or something else.
Well,
like that.
God bless you, and I appreciate that.
Sure.
And please do pray for Alex and pray for Joyce and pray for Radio
Liberty.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Okay, God bless you.
Okay, fine. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You got a question, comment, we'd love to hear from you. But We are involved in a battle for the survival of Western civilization. And most people really don't understand. They think that it's got to be all right. There's this little downturn. No, ladies and gentlemen, the America we've known is gone. I mean, oh, God brings his judgment on nations that turned against him. We heard just this evening that the legislature, the Republican legislature in New York, just voted to legalize a same-sex marriage. I mean, certainly heterosexual immorality is wrong, but we would never say it's all right, but that's what we're saying when we legalize homosexual marriage. It's certainly an issue. It's a diversion. It's to keep us from seeing what's really going on. But God is going to bring his judgment on America as sure as God makes little green apples. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or... Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Get the DVD of it, but if you don't have the funds or don't want to, and you can stand to sit in front of your computer for 2 hours watching me talk, why go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Scroll down to videos, click on videos, scroll down to the first video. It's called Brotherhood of Darkness, and watch it. And, of course, it's the story of what's going on today against the background of Agatha Christie's wonderful story, The Murder on the Orient Express. So understand this, and then there's so much more. You can get the videos or watch them up on our web of the secret, the dark secret, and the forbidden secret. And they will give you an overview, because we have syllabuses that go with the latter two talks, the forbidden secret and the dark secret, so that you can actually read and document what I'm saying. We have George Bush's first inaugural address, his second inaugural address, his State of the Union message. He lays it all out there. I'm not even sure George Bush even knew what he was saying or the significance of it, but the people who wrote his speeches did know the significance of it. And remember, George Bush was part of the Bohemian Grove, which is an occult organization. He was a member of the Skull and Bones Secret Society, which is an occult organization. He comes from an occult family. His father was deeply involved in the occult. That's Herbert Walker Bush, who popularized the term points of light. Everybody in the occult knows about the points of light. And then the New World Order, that, of course, is a phrase that was used by Alice Bailey and all the other occultists. But it was popularized by George Herbert Walker Bush on the 11th of September. As I recall, it was 2000. It was just a year before the 2001 attack. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the audience, and of course you would like to listen, I would like to help. Why, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, if you'd like to get our material, read our material, go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters without charge. You can watch our videos without charge. You can listen to our programs without charge. And there's all sorts of things on our website about emblems, occult emblems. They hide their occult emblems in plain sight, and they laugh at us because we're so stupid we don't see them. But they've hidden them in architecture. They hide them on the back of the dollar bill. They put them into paintings. They know exactly what they're doing to interlock. And, of course, because they control the major media outlets, they control the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and the Military Channel and all of the major channels on television. Yes, we did get some truth on Truth Television. There are a couple of programs with Jesse Ventura, very important. And we need to develop alternative networks and methods of reaching the people. With your help, we will. So please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Of course, we ask you to certainly remember, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and would love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters.
Let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, former senior editor of the New American Magazine, now writes his own blog. He, of course, writes our monthly newsletter, and, of course, one of the certainly most articulate spokesmen for the Americanist cause in our nation. William, it's so good to have you with us again tonight.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always a privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So what are we going to address this evening?
On the theme, which we always touch on, of the need to abandon illusions, I think one of the most important illusions we need to dispel is that the FBI and federal law enforcement in general is in any sense involved in an effort to protect life, liberty, and property. These are all appendages of a government that is a wholly owned subsidiary of this transnational power elite or brotherhood of darkness, as you like to characterize them. Just in the last few days, we've seen the second instance this year in which the FBI, actually not the FBI in both instances, but in this instance the FBI and the feds in general have rolled up two of their very prized assets, have been at the top of the most wanted list. The first, of course, was Osama bin Laden, who, contrary to deeply cultivated and erroneous impression, was not involved in the 9/11 attacks, according to the FBI, at least in terms of the evidence that was available. I find that disclosure to be really interesting, the fact that he was never on the most wanted list, identified as a suspect in that terrorist bombing. I think, once again, that's something we cannot overstate or italicize too frequently. But in any case, he started out as a bit player or a subsidiary of the CIA during the Afghan War. And there's reason to believe that that relationship continued well into the 90s or perhaps even into the early months of 2001. But he was rolled up, or at least supposedly, according to the reports we heard, he was rolled up just a few weeks ago. Just a couple of days ago, James Whitey Bulger, who is the former head of the Winter Hill Mob in Boston, or the so-called Irish Mafia, was finally reeled in. He had been living in Santa Monica in a quasi-private development where he and his 60-year-old girlfriend, Mr. Bulger, is in his 80s, had assumed the identity of a couple of retirees, paying cash for everything and making themselves largely inconspicuous. Mr. Bulger had been a federal asset since no later than the mid-50s. And during the 1970s, roughly 1974 until 1992 or 1993, he was a protected top echelon informant for the FBI. He was allowed to do pretty much anything he pleased to anybody he chose, as long as he provided actionable tips on his chief rival to power, which was the Boston branch of La Cosa Nostra, or the Italian mob. So he profited tremendously, and John Connolly, the FBI special agent who was his handler, profited as well from this relationship that ended up in being involved in the preventable murders of scores of people. And he was allowed to flee because Connolly tipped him off. He was rolled up a couple of days ago, and some disclosures about that relationship are probably in the offing.
Well, I think because Whitey Bulger he didn't just kill people.
Yes.
He tortured them to death. And if you've ever really studied this, it's one of the most horrible, discouraging stories to know the FBI was allowing this man to torture people to death and get away with it, as long as he was their informant. William, go right ahead.
John Connolly and Whitey Bulger both grew up in the Southie, which, of course, is a quasi-legendary section of Boston, which is inhabited primarily by working-class or upper-middle-class Irish. and they had known each other. They were childhood friends. Their relationship was somewhat fictionalized and romanticized for the Martin Scorsese movie The Departed, which came out a few years ago. Sometime in the early 1970s, when John Connolly was on the make as an FBI agent and Whitey Bulger was looking to establish himself as the chief crime lord of Boston, they struck up a relationship again. Bulger was somewhat older than Connolly. I believe he's maybe the better part of two decades older than Connolly. And so Connolly was somewhat in awe of Whitey Bulger. There had been a very carefully woven mythology in which Bulger swaddled himself to the effect that he was something of a Robin Hood type figure. Yes, he was running rackets, and he was running prostitution. He was involved in drug dealing and all kinds of untoward, unsavory activities. And occasionally, of course, he'd get his hands bloody. But the mythology held that he looked out for the little guy. He'd go after the people who were a little bit wealthier, a little bit more influential, but he had a heart for Southie, which, of course, was the most perfect nonsense. As you pointed out, Dr. Stan, here was somebody who had no compunctions about torturing people. According to a couple of his former associates, one of whom, Kevin Weeks, has written his own memoir. Kevin Weeks was one of his enforcers, a former amateur boxer, I believe, graduated from high school in 1974, who became a hitman and a muscle and gunman for Whitey Bulger. According to Kevin Weeks, Bulger and, I believe, Steve Flemmy, the so-called Rifleman Flemmy, who was one of his chief lieutenants, who was also a protected top echelon FBI informant, by the way, they both were voracious and unapologetic pederasts. And that's something that might have started way back in the 1950s in the case of James Bulger. He was called Whitey Bulger because he had platinum blonde hair. He's now bald, and what remains of his hair is outright white, you know, gray. He's a whore-headed guy in his ninth decade of life, but before he had this striking shock of platinum hair, hence the nickname Whitey. But way back in the 1950s, when he was put in federal prison as a result of a robbery conviction, an armed robbery conviction, I believe, he volunteered when he was in the penitentiary in Georgia for an experiment that was sponsored and funded by the CIA. So you're dealing here with another guy who was probably a CIA asset for as long as he's been a significant figure. Specifically, he was told that they were testing LSD as a potential cure for schizophrenia. So he was part of that whole Sidney Gottlieb-inspired mind control and psychoactive drug experiment that started way back in the 1950s when the CIA was basically the monopoly, had a monopoly on LSD.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William is going into the background of Whitey Bulger, and certainly Whitey Bulger had actually been arrested, put into prison, and he had volunteered for a CIA experiment, probably under Sidney Gottlieb, a CIA psychiatrist, and they were trying to find out how LSD worked, and they were using all these mind-control drugs. Anyone, what happened when they put Whitey Bulger into the CIA experiment?
It's not clear what happened in terms of changes to his personality. The hands-on administration of the drug was conducted by Dr. Jules Pfeiffer, who was working, if you follow the chain back, he was working under the notorious Dr. Gottlieb and that whole clique of people. But it was pretty clear that by the time he went to prison, he was, if not incorrigible, very difficult to consider redeemable, at least in terms of man's influence to rehabilitate himself. Of course, everybody is redeemable through God's grace. He's somebody who very aggressively shunned that blessing. But it's quite probable that owing to his exposure to LSD and the other aspects of this mind control experiment, that his innate corruptibility in his cultivated disregard for the rights of others became catalyzed and weaponized, if you will. So there's every reason to believe that this guy was not merely your common, ordinary ethnic gangster from the south side of Boston. He's somebody who had been refined into a very potent weapon of mayhem by the CIA. He went back to Southie in 1965 after getting time off from his sentence in exchange for being part of this experiment. And I think that the degeneracy that's been described by Kevin Weeks might have had something to do with with Bulger's experience in prison. But he went back to Southie in 1965, and it was a very timely arrival for him because there were three critical developments that occurred. First of all, the FBI, under the direction of Robert Kennedy at the time, decided, after decades of insisting that the Italian mafia didn't exist. That's something that Hoover adamantly insisted until it became politically untenable to do so. They decided that they were going to go after La Cosa Nostra, or the mafia, as it's more commonly referred to.
I think it's vitally important, William, to mention the fact that J. Edgar Hoover, for many years, 20 years or more, covered for the Italian mafia, the Cosa Nostra. And the reason he did is because J. Edgar Hoover, paragon of virtue, was a homosexual. He was carrying on homosexual liaisons, and the Cosa Nostra had evidence of this. And we have books written by people in the FBI going into the background of the fact that all the agents knew that J. Edgar Hoover was a homosexual, although, of course, outwardly he supposedly hated homosexuals and that he would not allow a homosexual in the FBI, and yet he himself was a homosexual. He covered for the mafia because they had pictures of him in very compromised positions, and most of the agents knew this, and they simply kept quiet to keep their jobs. Have you heard those stories?
Oh, I've read enough on that subject that I'm convinced that you're summarizing accurately the reasons why Hoover was compromised. And, of course, this is ironic because Hoover was the keeper of the files. He's the person who inherited a lot of material from the original iteration of the FBI when it was just called the Bureau of Investigation. It's important to point out as well that the FBI, from its origins, has been, first of all, entirely unconstitutional, and secondly, a very dangerous prototype of a national political police agency, and third of all, it's been irredeemably corrupt from the beginning. That's not to say that everybody who's been employed by the FBI has been corrupt. I know many people within the FBI, some of them my age, some older, a few younger, who are public-spirited and patriotic people who are doing what they think is legitimate service to their country, and I suppose within the constrained circumstances they find themselves in, they're doing at least some objective good. But institutionally, from the very beginning, the FBI was an operation that was engaged in assembling what the Russians call kompromat, which is to say, those notorious proverbial raw FBI files that are largely unfiltered gossip, but if you go and pan through them in the form of a miner panning for gold, you'll find the occasional valuable nugget of very compromising information. That's one of the reasons why Hoover was feared by everybody in the government, and so he ends up, of course, as Shakespeare would put it, being hoist by his own petard when he was compromised himself. I mean, he was an extravagantly peculiar man by any definition, and he's somebody who had never been saddled with compunctions about using that kind of leverage against other people. And so, as you point out, Dr. Stan, for decades, owing to the fact that he was compromisable and compromised, the FBI was a silent partner with respect to the consolidation of power by many of these Italian crime syndicates. And when Robert Kennedy came to power as the Attorney General, of course, there is a real story as well. Robert Kennedy was the scion, as was JFK, of a family that had its roots in Prohibition-era bootlegging. And I need to window into another aspect of the story very quickly. Every time you have a prohibitionist policy that's enacted, the government is not trying to eradicate the vice, and it's not really trying to mitigate it, it's trying to monetize it. It's trying to create a profit center for the government by syndicating the distribution of vice, whether you're talking about drugs or prostitution or gambling. They simply want to find a way to interdict the funds and divert them into the most profitable avenues possible. And that means, of course, that they have to have a tacit symbiosis, a type of complicit or supportive relationship with an officially designated, although not publicly recognized, crime cartel. And that's where the Italian mob really found traction, was during Prohibition. And out of that era, of course, you have the Robert Kennedy, the Joseph Kennedy line, acquiring a fortune by being bootleggers at the time when we had this huge social experiment in alcohol prohibition, which did little more than cultivate violence and leave a lot of people blinded or killed from tainted alcohol, some of which was deliberately tainted by the federal government, and you have the consolidation and vertical integration of crime syndicates. By 1965, however, Robert Kennedy had said, we're going to go after La Cosa Nostra. We're going to go after them hammer and tongs. That's the first development that was to Whitey Bulger's benefit. The second was that just days before he went back to Southie, one of the informants for the FBI, a special agent by the name of Rico, who himself was known to prowl the flesh pots of the gay underworld there in Boston. That's where he met a lot of his informants. That's really interesting to mention to the story as well. But this Special Agent Rico was running an informant named Jimmy the Bear Flemmy, who was, I believe, the father of Steve the Rifleman Flemmy, who became an intimate associate of Whitey Bulger. He murdered a thug by the name of Edward Deegan, and that, of course, was a complication, because if he's murdered somebody, the FBI is probably not going to be able to keep him on the payroll and use him as an informant and as an asset. And so in order to protect their informant, the Boston office of the FBI engaged in a brazen cover-up by finding four people who were admittedly not the most reputable sort of folks and framing them for the murder of Edward Deegan, which, of course, they didn't commit. So what they were doing after the fact, they were acting as accessories after the fact to a murder, and then they were guilty in framing four innocent men, innocent of this crime in any case, and sending them to prison. That's the second thing that happened that was to Whitey Bulger's advantage, because suddenly you've got the Boston FBI office in an outright, bloody-handed, collaborative relationship with the Winterhill Gang, the Irish Mafia. But the most important and propitious development for Whitey Bulger was the ascent of his brother, William, or Billy as he's referred to, in the state legislature. He eventually became the president of the Massachusetts Senate at the same time that John Bulger, Whitey, was the head of the Winterhill mob. And then Steve Connolly, the third leg of this tripod, was the head of the FBI office in Boston. So you had an iron triangle here that is the most remarkable construct, where you have the criminal underworld and the political overworld seamlessly integrated here to the mutual benefit of all three. And if you know anything about Boston political culture, the legislature there, as is the case in Chicago and of course a number of other places in this country, but these two places in particular, like in Tammany Hall, the quasi-legendary pit of corruption in New York, you've got a situation where they are brazen and shameless in conferring largesse, basically by way of plunder, patronage, and bribery. And so you have really no moral distinction at all between the legislative branch of the government there and the activist branch of street-level crime syndicates. So you had the Bulger family create this dynasty that spanned the very narrow divide between the underworld and the criminal overworld. And so he had a situation where Billy Bulger was in a position that allowed him to dispense patronage and ladle out largesse as he saw fit. And so people like Paul Rico, this FBI agent who had been involved in the cover-up, the framing of these four men for the murder of Edward Deegan in order to protect the FBI informant, they were confronted with mandatory retirement at the age of 50. That's one of the things that J. Edgar Hoover wrote into the initial charter of the FBI. So they found themselves indecently eager to find favor with Billy Bulger, on the assumption, of course, that after they retired at 50, they could get some kind of a cushy sinecure in what is called a hack job. And hack jobs, of course, are a major industry for the political culture in Boston, just as they are in Chicago as well. And so they would be able to rack up arrests of Italian mobsters to earn promotions and pad their pensions, because if they ascended through the ranks, of course, they'd be able to expand the pensions that they could expect to receive at age 50. And at the same time, they had to take care of the Bulger family so that they would be able to double-dip by getting these perquisites and benisons from the state government. This became a self-perpetuating engine of corruption that ruined hundreds, if not thousands, of lives in Boston. And it was the FBI and the mob of the state government who were responsible for the carnage.
And because we were all supporting the FBI in those years, because, yeah, of course, it was anti-communist. And we thought, oh, the communists are the big enemy, and they're going to take over America, without realizing communism was being largely financed by our own government at every turn. The average individual to this day doesn't understand what Professor Sutton wrote about Wall Street and the rise of Bolshevism. And anti-communism is simply a cover to cover up the real criminals at the highest levels of government. William, go right ahead.
Of course, I agree.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Very, very similar, of course, to the original Masons. In fact, the original Mafia, Sicilian Mafia, was an outgrowth of Masonry. Oh, my goodness, most people don't see how it all fits together. But all of these things interlock because, of course, they all have strong spiritual forces behind them. Pick up the story there, William.
And even if you don't subscribe to the idea that spiritual forces are relevant in terms of how they play out in the world as we perceive it and tangibly experience it, the point is that these people are seriously committed to these principles, and they believe in the spiritual force that is generated through certain types of ritual and certain covenants that they enter into. They believe it, and they're willing to act on their ideals, perverted, torqued, and depraved as they are. And the point is that even if you believe that this is the most perfect nonsense, that it's all adolescent mummery of the sort that little kids engage in when they have a club in their treehouse complete with funny hats and secret handshakes and passwords, even if you believe that it's nothing more than that in terms of the tangible impact of what they do, the gestures, the rituals, and so forth, they take this stuff seriously. And these are people in a position where they can make it a matter of great importance to us because they understand the need to be faithful to what they have sworn to do, to be supportive to their brothers in these oath-bound fidelities and fraternities at the expense of the rest of us. And that's how the world really operates at a level below the headlines and below the scrutiny of people with graduate degrees in political science. The fact is that this matters. This matters a great deal, whether you're talking about the type of people who make their bones and then become made men in mafia initiation rituals involving the symbolic burning of a saint and swearing on various things that are regarded as holy to them that they will be faithful to this oath-bound criminal fraternity, or are you talking about the types of things that people who enlist in Skull and Bones undergo that involve, among other things, this is once again a way of underscoring the importance of blackmail leverage in the workings of the power elite, that is a condition of enlisting in the Skull and Bones fraternity and having access to all of the rewards and career security that this entails. They have to compromise themselves. They have to disgorge all the intimate and potentially seamy and sordid and embarrassing details of their past, their inclinations, their appetites. This is the sort of thing where they strip themselves bare so as to make themselves vulnerable, and in their vulnerability, of course, they find themselves wedded to this order and to its objectives. And this helps explain why somebody who is as nondescript and undistinguished and eminently mediocre as a George W. Bush can end up being propelled into the White House. Here's somebody who spent most of his adult life in a self-induced haze owing to chemical abuse of various kinds. He had no aptitude for business. He had no discipline. He had no direction. He was cruising on the basis of his father's achievements. Of course, he was a multi-generational member of the Skull and Bones fraternity. His grandfather had been a Skull and Bones man. His dad, of course, George Bush the Elder, had been a very famous bonesman. George Bush, when he was initiated into the fraternity, didn't even bother to reset the default name he was given, his secret Skull and Bones name. Of course, he's not going to admit it. He was asked about it on television. He said, I can't talk about that, just as John Kerry said the same thing when he had two bonesmen running for the presidency in 2004. But according to exposés that have been written, his name is still temporary within the facility. Within the fraternity, he's still known as temporary, which, of course, is a placeholder until he can think something up. But you take a look at how his career was aided at every significant juncture when he had basically buried himself in a pit of his own failure. He was bailed out on at least three separate occasions by people who were bonesmen buddies of his dad. You take a look at the purchase of the Texas Rangers baseball team, which is probably the only thing for which he had even minimal confidence because he was interested in baseball. All the investors, the co-investors who helped him buy the Texas Rangers team, were bonesmen. These people basically pulled out their checkbooks when they were contacted by George Bush's bonesman dad, and they were willing to write checks in order to help him buy his own baseball team, to give him some kind of a platform he could stand on while bonesmen behind the scenes, beginning with his dad, put together a political career that put him on a track to the White House. So once again, there are deep and intimate and specific parallels between the oath-bound criminal underworld and the oath-bound political overworld. And this story of James Whitey Bulger is just one peek into how this operates, and it's a thoroughly disgusting sight.
And, of course, it was the FBI agent Whitey Bulger's contact who actually told Bulger the police were coming.
Yes.
He better get out of town. And, he got out of town for 16 years he's been hiding. And we'll be back in just a moment here with William Greig right here at Radio Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love.
Well, William, you go right ahead.
James Whitey Bulger was recruited as a top echelon informant in 1975, and as you point out, Dr. Stan, it was his handler, John Connolly, who 20 years later, almost exactly 20 years later, gave Whitey Bulger the news that the feds were preparing to indict him on about a score of murder charges. So Bulger had about a 20-year career here as a protected asset of the FBI. By this time, John Connolly had retired, and he was luxuriating in the corrupt proceeds of his thoroughly disreputable career. During that 20-year period, according to Bolger and Fleming, Steve the Rifleman Fleming, I love these nicknames, who was recruited in 1970 as an FBI informant, they would scrape up what meager intelligence they could find on the Italian mob and pass along to the FBI, and the FBI went out and eliminated the only competition that the Winter Hill Gang had to control over the rackets and the other underworld operations in Boston. And this relationship really took the form of almost a kind of alchemy. As Fleming said, me and Whitey gave the feds, and I won't use the word he used, but it refers to digestive residue. We would give them garbage, and they gave us gold. But this was a 20-year period where the Winter Hill Gang consolidated power because the FBI was taking out their competition, and at the same time, the FBI assets working hand in glove with the Winter Hill Gang were consolidating power as well. They had parallel careers, and they rose to the top. And at the time, of course, William Bolger, John's brother, was atop the throne of the Senate in Boston as well. And it's important to recognize that this isn't something that is completely innocuous or utterly insulated from the experience of people in Boston and in Miami and elsewhere in the country. There were people who were murdered, scores of people who were murdered, who had done nothing but simply get in the way of some corrupt appetite that Bolger and Fleming and their associates wanted to indulge, and the FBI was willing to let them indulge it, just as they were willing to frame four people for a murder that they didn't commit in order to protect an informant in 1965. And one of the things that I talk about, and I've written about this, as a matter of fact, if you go to the American...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan in Cursor. What is so incredible is that the FBI, to cover for this murderer, Whitey Bolger, framed four innocent men. They knew they were innocent and put them in prison for murder. And so these were men who did not commit this murder. Whatever they'd done, it was a phony conviction. Everybody knew it was a phony conviction, and they sent innocent men to prison to cover for their informant, who is actually Whitey Bulger, who tortured at least 19 people to death, or tortured many of them to death. Horrible, horrible, horrible stories. And the FBI knew this, and they allowed it to go in, because they wanted, of course, to get the Italian mafia and allow the Irish mafia to operate. But it made the FBI look good. And, of course, they didn't care how many lives were lost. And they didn't care about sending innocent men to prison. That's why you could, unfortunately, not trust the FBI. Because nobody was anybody ever... I know this one FBI agent went to prison over that. Did he ever get out of prison?
I think he's still in prison. He was up for parole last year. And last I heard, he's still behind bars. What's really interesting is that the FBI employees union intervened on his behalf, trying to get John Connolly out of prison at the earliest parole date. John Connolly, and I've been referring mistakenly to Whitey Bolger as John. His name is actually James. He's James Bolger and John Connolly, and for some reason I've been transposing those names. James Whitey Bolger was the mobster, and John Connolly was his FBI handler. But John Connolly, in the late 1990s, before he was put on trial for racketeering and eventually convicted, John Connolly was actually shopping a screenplay about himself, trying to create an image of himself as the man who took down the mob in Boston, when, of course, he's the guy who consolidated the real mob in Boston, the Winter Hill Gang. But one of the things about that relationship, and I want to point out that this is, I'm convinced, not at all an anomaly. I am convinced that this is the sort of thing that the feds, the FBI in particular, have been engaged in everywhere in the country where their interests have dictated it, is that John Connolly was not merely a passive accomplice. He's not something who was merely an accessory after the fact when these murders were carried out. There was one incident, according to Kevin Weeks, and Kevin Weeks testified against Connolly in 2002 in the racketeering trial. There was at least one instance in which Connolly actually rode along and took part in a mob hit. And Weeks also said that there were at least a half a dozen FBI agents. This is the part of the story, Dr. Stamp, that really needs to be followed up on. And this is what I'm waiting for now that they have Bolger in, in custody. Of course, he's at an age now where they could dispose of him, and it would look like natural causes. So I'm suspecting that he's not long for this plane of existence. And what comes afterwards, in his case, is probably not going to be terribly pleasant. But if he's allowed to speak, we might find out a little bit more about one particular accusation leveled by Kevin Weeks, who'd been his lieutenant, muscle and gun guy once again, that there were at least a half a dozen FBI agents who would be at the beck and call of Connolly, which is to say at the beck and call of James Bulger, and he could call them any time, and they would willingly hop in the car with him and a machine gun. So they were actually, in a literal sense, in terms of the actual rubber hits the road or the bullet hits the bone role, partners, full partners in promoting and protecting the Winter Hill Gang. And the other thing that I think is really important to recognize here, and this has to do once again with the degenerate political culture in Boston, which is just an exaggerated or an amplified version of the quotidian corruption that characterizes American politics, is that there were many instances where the little guy, the proverbial unconnected little guy, found himself steamrollered by the Winter Hill Gang with the FBI's outright connivance. I'd mentioned just before the break that I had published a story about this 5 years ago in the American Conservative. There was a book review I wrote of Howie Carr's book, The Brothers Bulger, How They Terrorized and Corrupted Boston for a Quarter Century. Howie Carr is a writer for the Boston Herald, and he's also a local talk show host. I believe he still has a radio program. He made himself more or less the go-to guy in the Boston media in exposing what Bulger was up to. And at one point, he actually was the subject of contract that had been put out by Bulger. And if he had been killed, I don't think that there would have been serious repercussions, because this is taking place at a time when Bulger was still protected by the FBI. And he assigned Kevin Weeks, his henchman, to go out and put a bullet in the head of Howie Carr, because Howie Carr had been pestering him and insulting him. And Bulger, of course, had a notoriously short temper when he was dealing with people who made him look bad. And Kevin Weeks was sent out to pick off Howie Carr as he picked up his daughter from school. And so Weeks had found a sniper nest, and he was just waiting to do this. And he fixed sights on Howie Carr, but he couldn't pull the trigger, because he just couldn't countenance the possibility that a ricochet might end up killing Howie Carr's daughter or injuring another school child. And then he thought, I just can't sit here and gun down this guy in front of his grade school age daughter. Now, I think it's an interesting thing to contrast that with what Lon Horiucci did at Ruby Ridge. Lon Horiucci knew that he had Vicki Weaver in his gun sights. When he was asked under oath what he saw when he looked through the targeting scope of the sniper rifle, he drew a picture of Vicki Weaver's head. She was cradling a newborn suckling infant, and yet he found it within himself to pull the trigger.
And now this is a FBI sniper,
yeah,
who actually killed
FBI
him.
FBI sniper, yes.
Right. So the FBI sniper didn't think he had no compulsions about killing this woman holding an infant in her arms, as in the wife of the gentleman there.
Randy Weaver.
But of course the mafia sniper did have compunctions about it. The difference between the FBI and the mafia, at least there's a sense of honor in the mafia.
Yeah, some residual embattled and all but destroyed sense of honor, but there's a residue of it nonetheless. So I've said on a couple of occasions that in the distinction between Kevin Weeks's decent self-restraint in not taking the shot and Lon Horiucci's willingness to take that shot, in that difference we find the precise meaning of the phrase good enough for government work. And the point is that the FBI hired, trained, deployed Lon Horiucci, protected him. He's in the witness protection program now. Because he's somebody who is quite understandably the focus of a great deal of lasting public anger, because he just committed brazenly an act of criminal homicide as part of this horrible seizure of the Randy Weaver home in 1992. But beyond that, he's somebody who for at least a couple of years was actually the subject of a criminal homicide warrant here in the state of Idaho. And it was scotched not by the Boundary County, I believe it was Boundary County prosecutor. This is something that was put aside by the state attorney general under pressure from Washington, and I think it's sort of ironic there, because I believe the county prosecutor's name was Woodbury. The county prosecutor at the time was female, and she proved herself to be more of a man than the pseudo-male, the nominal man, who was the attorney general at the time, who yielded to federal pressure. There was actually going to be a criminal homicide trial for Lon Horiuchi, so he's a protected gangster as well. And, of course, he's not spent time living at public expense and looking at striped sunlight, but he really should, inasmuch as what he did was an objective crime. And the same sort of thing that Kevin Weeks was tasked to do by this FBI-protected asset, Whitey Bulger. But the other case that I find so striking here, by way of illustrating how this works in terms of this relationship between the underworld and the overworld, is the story of a man by the name of Steve Rakes, who's sometimes known as Steve Stippo Rakes. Once again, these nicknames are colorful and somewhat diverting. In 1983, he and his wife, they were married at the time. They subsequently divorced for reasons that I'll probably hint at here in just a second. They had been working odd jobs and saving money. They finally put together enough money to buy a liquor license at an auction. They auction liquor licenses in Boston. That's just one element, once again, of how this political culture works. They were able to buy a small piece of commercial property on Old Colony Avenue. It was the only one that had convenient parking. And so they bought this property. They got the liquor license. They spent over $100,000. Once again, this is $1983 dollars we're talking about. And this is a young couple of modest means and relatively small ambitions. They were able to put out $100,000 to buy the property, get the license, and renovate it, and open it during the Christmas season, just in time for New Year's in 1984. Well, just after they opened it, they got a visit from a couple of people they didn't know. One of them was Whitey Bulger, one of them was Kevin Weeks, and a third one was Steve Fleming. And they showed up and said, basically, we want to take this property off your hands, and we'll give you $67,000 for it. And $67,000, of course, didn't cover what they had laid out. And they said that there was a problem in as much as some of the other liquor store owners in the area wanted to kill them because they didn't like the competition. They were, of course, the only store that had a convenient parking space here on this very busy avenue. What had happened is that Whitey Bulger had become aware of this facility, and he wanted to find a way of creating a hideout, a headquarters, like the Ravenite Club that was used by the Dapper Don, John Gotti, in New York. He wanted to have a place that would be a legitimate business that he could use for laundering money from his illicit proceeds. He also wanted to have a secure base of operations that wouldn't be penetrable by anybody he didn't control. And by this time, he controlled pretty much everybody in local and federal law enforcement, much of the highway patrol there as well. And so he decided that he was going to chase these people off. Well, what this was, essentially, was an act of eminent domain. He decided that the fair market value of that property was $67,000, which was appreciably less than these people had paid. They weren't interested in the deal, and so Whitey Bulger threatened to bomb them out and then to kill them. And at one point, he visited them at their home, and one of his henchmen took out a gun and actually put it into the mouth of their infant daughter, not infant, two-year-old toddler daughter, and said something to the effect of, it would just be a terrible thing for her to grow up without you, you know, looking at Steve Rakes as he said this. Well, eventually they terrorized these people into signing over the property, and they ended up with $67,000 and a huge debt that they couldn't pay off. And poor Steve Rakes and his wife eventually divorced 7 or 8 years later in 1991. And by that time, news was starting to come out about the relationship between Bulger and the FBI. But at this time, the Stippo liquor store was taken over and renamed the South Boston Liquor Mart. And at John Connolly's retirement party in 1990, that's the year before Steve and his wife divorced, they had the whole Boston FBI office present, and it was held there at the South Boston Liquor Mart that had belonged to Steve Rakes. So he was eventually summoned to testify before two grand juries, and he refused to talk. This was in the later mid-1990s, because he had a wife and two daughters, ex-wife by this time, and two daughters. He wasn't willing to testify because it had been made clear to him what would happen to him if he spoke out. during the time that Whitey Bulger was blackmailing him and trying to get him to turn over the property, Steve and his wife approached a friend of theirs who worked for the Boston... Actually, no, he worked, I believe, for the Highway Patrol, the Massachusetts Highway Patrol, and described what had happened. And their friend, who was in law enforcement, said, well, what you need to do is you need to talk with the Organized Crime Division of the FBI. And so he went right to guess who? He went right to John Connolly and told him what was going on. And it was because Rakes had talked to his friend in the police department and thereby turning the information over to the FBI that he ended up having his life threatened and ended up being browbeaten into turning over the ownership of the property that he had bought on the basis of his own sweat and credit. And so he had learned the hard way that it just wouldn't work to trust in any law enforcement agency in the area to protect him. So he wasn't going to cooperate with the grand jury. He was eventually indicted and convicted of perjury. He wasn't sent to prison, but he was convicted of perjury, and that made him almost unemployable because he's now a federal felon on probation. And so he faced an eviction, an outright destitution, by the early years of the 21st century, late 1990s, early 2000s. And so he plaintively approached the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority to see if he could find some kind of a make-work hack job. And he was told that he could have a job in exchange for a $3,000 bribe. Now, he and his ex-wife have sued Connolly and a number of other people who are responsible for what happened to them. They brought suit in 2001. It was heard by a U.S. District Court in 2004, and then it was thrown out in 2006. The reason was that under the Federal Tort Claims Act, the statute of limitations supposedly was exhausted by the time they were fully aware of what had happened. So the federal government, which only allows itself to be sued when it waives what's called sovereign immunity, which, by the way, is a horrible, horrible principle that is completely incompatible with small-R Republican institutions, they had set this narrow window of opportunity for people who were affected by this FBI mob alliance to file some kind of a tort claim. And then they very carefully kept from public disclosure anything that would be compromisable until the statute of limitations had run out. Now that Bulger is in custody, Mr. Rakes and a number of other people, including the family of a businessman from Oklahoma who was murdered in Miami as part of an FBI-condoned hit. He was murdered in Oklahoma in order to seize control of a business in Miami, if I remember correctly. They're filing suit again, and they're going to try to see if it will be possible at long last to receive some kind of compensation, some kind of remuneration for the injustices they have suffered. But again, you're taking a look at a case here, a story that offers this core sample of this multi-layered and mutually reinforcing official corruption that starts at the top and runs all the way down into the murky and miasmic depths of the criminal underworld, and it's all a question of who happens to be in power and how best to serve their interests at the expense of everybody else. People on both sides of this very narrow divide, this gap separating the underworld from the overworld, have no compunctions, no scruples, no conscience. They have no public spiritedness. They don't see us as people with rights that they are required to protect, those who are in the political realm supposedly swear an oath to protect the Constitution, to protect our rights. They're at best indifferent to that, if not outright hostile. And people on the other side of the proposition don't make any pretense of having an interest in our rights. But you know what? Ironically enough, the private element of this public-private partnership, the mob rather than the government, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, that is still hampered with some residual sense of honor and decency. On the other side, on the federal side, they have no such impediments.
What a sad, sad commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a fallen world. And if you don't believe God is going to bring his judgment on this world, I think that you are going to be very, very surprised. I think we're moving very, very rapidly. The signs are all there. Get the scriptures out, read them, and then think about what William's been talking about tonight. You think that this is simply going to pass without retribution? Well, Woody, we've got 3 minutes to wrap the program up.
Dr. Stan, as always, it's been a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. And I want to emphasize...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.